Yes.
The Vice President, 9-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah, Mr. President, Vice President. Please, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I thought you'd like to know I did survive my afternoon with the committee and that the members of the Senate, we had quite a few in there. They were anything but charitable. Our friend Bill Fulbright, Albert Gore, and Joe Clark. Those fellows are living under the assumption that we really just don't walk that extra mile for peace, and that Viet Cong crowd is just a sort of a nice little outfit. God, that's incredible. But I think we came out all right.
Well, tell me about what happened.
Well, the main thing they wanted to talk about was the foreign aid program and whether or not we were making any big commitments overseas, and I pointed out that we were doing nothing of the kind, and that that they knew that these funds were appropriated funds and authorized funds, and they wondered, well, why was it necessary to make these announcements over there? And I said possibly because it was an opportunity to talk frankly with governments about the difficulties that we were having from the Congress of the United States in being able to obtain foreign aid funds, and the necessity for their governments to take a very good look at their budgeting and their allocation of resources, that we believed in self-help, we believed in peace, and we wanted an implementation of the Tashkent Agreement. That sort of thing, I think we handled that all right, but Bill Fulbright just kept coming back, just simply saying, well, I just want to be sure that you're not out there just offering more economic aid to everybody around the country, and so on, and I told him, I said, well, Senator, I offered only what you had authorized and what the President, who is the chief executive of this country, scheduled under the authorizations of the Congress. You people authorized it. You're the ones that appropriated the money. And then we got down around to what our position was on negotiations. I said, it's amazing to me that Americans are, senators are asking about what our position is, and I repeated it in 16 different ways. And the question then came to me, well, why don't you just accept the Viet Cong as a political force in the negotiation? I said, the President has made it crystal clear that we would never, that the matter of representation would not be an insurmountable obstacle or difficulty, that these were matters that if we could ever get anybody that would ever pick up the telephone, would ever say they wanted to talk, that these were all matters which could be subject to preliminary discussions. We can't even get anybody to discuss. I told him we'd tried to get the Pope. We'd worked with the Pope. We'd worked with the President of India. We'd worked with the Prime Minister of Great Britain, with the United Nations, and we tried every way, but if you fellows have any new ideas as to how we can get somebody to talk to us, well, then we can talk about who comes to the conference. And I went over that, and then they said, well, now you just sort of feel that you've gone around and hardened the position on the Viet Cong. And I said, no, I hadn't hardened the position on the Viet Cong at all. We were not talking about negotiations. We were talking about whether or not, without any negotiations, we ought to just announce to the world that we're going to give part of the government to the communists. I said I had never heard of any such kind of discussion from a responsible nation. You couldn't expect the government of the United States to start dishing out the government of South Vietnam to the people that were trying to destroy it. But I said that when it got down to negotiations, we've said that everything was negotiable, that the 4 points of Hanoi are 14 points, the 5 points of South Vietnam, you name it, all of them were on the table. If anybody would come and talk, but we can't talk alone. God, I went over it with them 100 times. And then we got into a discussion of the National Liberation Front. And it's an amazing thing that these fellows are just not convinced this is all communist controlled. Oh, when I pinned it, when I really got at them at the end, well, they said, well, now it maybe is, but it just wasn't in the beginning. And we've made it communist controlled by forcing their hands with escalation. Of course, that's just not true, and I was very patient, Mr. President. I don't think I ever lost my temper, and there were many friends there, fortunately. Senator Saltonstall was there, Senator Kiefer was there, Senator Pastore was there, Senator Carlson was there, and Senator Case was there, Senator Symington, and Senator Dodd, and we had a good group, but when you get to Bill Fulbright, you get to Albert Gore and Joe Clark, it's really something. Then they ended up by saying quite privately off the record, they said, oh, the main reason that there about 16 or 17 of them were taking the position that they were taking is because they wanted to be sure that when the president had to compromise that that there'd be a wing in the Democratic Party that could defend him. And I never said anything. I just listened. They said that they were having trouble getting administration witnesses. I said, I hadn't noticed that, that we were always prepared to testify. I said that I couldn't speak for the other gentlemen of the administration, except that I knew that the president had instructed everyone that was in a responsible position to always be responsive to Congress, that we understood the role of Congress, and we respected that role. So on and so on. But Albert Gore was just trying to, he wanted me just to say that that we just recognize the National Liberation Front as a force in its own right. And I said, Senator, I said, I can't do that. I said, it is a operation set up by Hanoi and controlled by Hanoi. And I'm not in any position to make any policy statements like that. And I don't intend to.
What's this got to do with your trip?
Not one damn thing. That's what I said. I said to them when I said to Senator Fulbright, I said, Senator, I've been answering questions here now a great deal about a number of matters that do not relate to my journey and my mission. Well, he said, I heard all about that. He said, we heard all about that over at the White House. He said, oh, well, that was all covered over at the White House. I said, well, that's what I thought. But I understood you to say that that the environment there wasn't conducive to the kind of questions you want to question me. And that's why I felt that out of respect for you and for the committee and the Senate, that if you wanted to have an informal discussion with me, I'd be more than happy to do so. But I said, I've been here like I'm on the witness stand. I said, don't misunderstand me. I'm perfectly prepared to answer. I mean, do the best to answer the questions. But I thought I'd given a pretty good accounting of the trip, and I've got some more information here that I'd like to share with you. And I discussed with them the India situation and Pakistan and so on. And all Bill Fulbright had was a lot of old goddamn newspaper clippings that he kept reading to me, and where somebody might have had a slight exaggeration or a twist of their own. And say, well, now, what about that? And I'd say, well, part correct, but it doesn't really reflect exactly what I said. And I said, let me read you. And I would read from a message that I had sent back some certain portion to the State Department, and I'd just isn't right. I think that I can only say, Mr. President, that your judgment, as usual, was better than mine. I'd been a whole lot better off. I told them to go to hell from my own point of view. But I think now, at least, they've got it out of their craw, and most of the boys are rather pleased. I'll wait and see what the press has to say. The press asked me what happened. I said I was treated with respect, and I was given thoughtful questions, and I answered in a respectful, thoughtful, and direct manner. I have respect for the Congress of the United States, and I tried to convey that respect by the sense of my replies. I hope that I was informative, and that's all I said. I didn't discuss very much of it.
But like McCarthy was a little mean. He said that you discussed the administration Vietnam policy, if there was one.
Is that what he said on
me? Yeah.
Well, I don't know what came over him. He came in here. He and I had a long talk yesterday. We went down and had a little lunch together. He was very friendly. I don't know what's eating these fellows. I just think they've gotten themselves bound up into a little cabal there that they just don't really know how to get out of it.
But I don't know how he's gotten bound into it. I don't know what is he... They say his wife feels very deeply, and that he feels very deeply, and it's kind of a... they're really violent about it. Has he got a young boy or something that might be going to war?
No, not at all. He hasn't got none of his... one of them, I think, is about 14 years of age, the oldest one. The boy's about 12. I talked to him yesterday about his boat, and he told me, he said, well, hell, he said, I just don't believe in resolutions, that's all. He said, that's the only reason I voted that way. He said, I think the president's got that authority without a resolution. I didn't believe Eisenhower ought to have one. I didn't believe Kennedy ought to have one. I don't believe Johnson ought to have one.
Did he vote against any of them?
He voted with the, he voted not to table the force. He was one of the five.
Yeah, I say, but did he vote against any of Kennedy's or...
Not a damn one of them.
Any of Eisenhower's?
Nope.
He voted for this one before. Now, that doesn't quite ring true, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yep, he voted, of course, for the appropriation. He voted against the earnest screening one. It's just hard to figure him out. I really believe that these fellows have just got themselves worked up into a kind of a pitch. They are just... As a matter of fact, today, Bill Fulbright said that he just thought that before any foreign aid was given and any military assistance, he ought to come back here and just consult with this committee. Just sitting around there, just like a bunch of old women. I just have decided, very frankly, that the best way for us to do is just go cut our own grass and the hell with them. But I'll be nice about it. I never made an unkind word, and they kept... professing their love and affection for both of us, but this was their duty. I said, I understand that.
Now, what did the other 20 senators do with these three?
Well, the rest of them were pretty good. They didn't say much. It's pretty much the same thing that you generally go through. They don't get a chance to say much. Symington was good, and let me see, Case was good. He wasn't bad, of New Jersey. George Aiken asked a couple of questions that were all that weren't too bad. I forgot now what Aiken asked about. It was wasn't Russia the one that really could do something about this thing? And I pointed out, quite frankly, that I had tried to the best of my ability never to do anything or say anything that could be provocative to the Soviet Union and indeed even to Communist China, but I said, particularly the Soviet Union that wanted to escalate this struggle, we surely didn't need any more difficulties than we presently had, and that I doubted that, I said I felt the reason that the Soviet Union